Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cosy bedding. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Teresa, good afternoon, Teresa.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And how are you? Are you fully recovered?
I'm grand now.
Yeah.
Oh yes. The reason that we're talking to Joe is that the first man that came on the scene when I went into the water, he just came in. He never looked at his own safety. He just walked in and took me out.
Yeah.
And that man had to go home with wet shoes, wet socks and wet trousers. And where you're able to thank everybody else, he was gone.
Yeah.
There was another man with him.
Yeah.
He didn't give his name or anything like that.
Yeah.
And he just done the deed and then was gone.
And did he jump into the canal as well?
He got into the canal. I was in the canal at that stage because they had tumbled in.
And how did you end up? This is last Saturday morning, 9:30, the canal.
Last Saturday morning.
The canal the Inchicore end. It's called the Black Horse Lewis stop, which is confusing. Because Black Horse Avenue is over the other side of the city, but the reason it's called the Black Horse Lewis stop is that the pub there used to be called the Black Horse. So
That's right.
Inchicore. So what happened? You were going along in your mobility scooter with your Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu. Normally, when I take him for a long walk, I would use it because I do the thing. It's my bleeding that's my problem.
Okay.
But I had done a small bit of shopping. And it was grand while he was walking because he was sitting on the trolley.
Okay.
But when we got to the canal, I always used to give him a jaunt. And of course, the shopping was hitting off the ground. So I tried to put it on to the handle of the scooter. But I ended up putting it on the reverse gear.
Okay.
And I was going round in circles and ended up in the water.
And where was little Toby at this stage?
Unfortunately, he was sitting on the mobility, but he's tethered to me because he's blind. So the whole lot of us went in, and then.
Is Toby blind?
Toby is blind.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God, the shit! And he was on your lap. The bag. The you moved the bag, and unfortunately, when you moved the bag, it actually put the mobility hit the reverse gear on the mobility scooter.
That's right.
Scooter. You start going around in circles. So to speak.
Yeah.
And before you knew it, you'd reverse into the canal.
I'd read being in, a thing. And it was just, I wasn't frightened as such, but I mean, this man must have seen what it was.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm at a stage where you can thank the police, the Garda.
Of course.
The ambulance crew. This man, to me, he was a hero because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to.
So he waded in after you.
He waded in.
And he got
me out.
Okay. And what, he lifted you up under the arms, or how did he get you out?
He brought me to the edge, and there's a little, it's kind of two steps on it.
Okay.
So I sat there for a while.
Wow.
But another man then came and helped me out.
But I presume, Teresa, you're saturated at this stage.
Oh, I was absolutely soaked, everything, you know.
And hang on, where's Toby?
Toby, at that stage, he was out, he didn't know where he was. Because Toby is, he's a nice, I love him.
Yeah, of course.
But you could talk, you have to warn people, you know, because he just doesn't like people.
Full stop. Okay.
No. There was a lassie around there, she made a phone call. Just trying to pet him, and sure, he nearly ate her.
Ah, Toby.
You know, but he wouldn't mean what he did. He doesn't mind women, but for some reason he just doesn't appear to like men. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
You're now out on the bank, on those two steps. You're saturated.
Yeah.
The man who went in after you first, he's saturated as well, I presume.
He's still there. Because another girl, Rachel, we managed to thank her. She made the phone calls and called the ambulance and
the fire brigade or whatever,
But he seemed to have disappeared then. He just went on.
This was the first.
I never got to thank him.
And what can you give us a description, apart from being sopping wet, can you give us a description of him?
He was wearing a mustard-coloured jacket, like it would be like a bomber-type jacket, but not quite. It might have been loose. And he was around about 5'8", possibly late 40s, early 50s.
Okay. And did he speak to you at all?
Oh, he did.
And did you recognise his accent? Was it a...
No, I wouldn't be that up on anything, you know.
Okay.
But it's just, I'll tell you, it was...
And Anne, do you reckon...
I thought I was glad there was somebody who was there.
Well, do you reckon, Anne... Do you reckon that man saved you and Toby's life?
I think he did, because I would have struggled to get out.
Of course you would have,
There's no doubt about it. Because it I know it's not deep, but my mobility to try and climb out would have been hampered. And then I'd say, I'd be thinking of the poor unfortunate dog too, because like he's 15. And he really, like I know to say people, he's your best friend. Well, actually he is.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
And I just wouldn't be without him. Now that says like he thinks he's an emperor. And he's got an awful lot of servants and he's got financial advisors.
Of course, but
to me, he's everything, exactly that.
And Teresa, were you not freezing cold having gone into the canal on Saturday morning? It was a cold day.
Well, I was cold, but I can't remember being cold. But see, I swim every day. So I wasn't frightened of the water. The water itself didn't frighten me.
Okay.
But I mean, I've often walked past the canal. I'm seeing an awful lot of stuff in it.
Yeah, but this is the first time you swam in the canal since you were a child.
Oh, it's the very first time. I don't think I'll be doing it again.
Well, that's great to hear. You're very calm.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Toby said he had his Titanic moment. And never again is he going to go out with me second Toby. Class. He'll travel first class in future.
Okay.
It's just that I would like to call out that man.
Yeah, okay.
And there was
love
another
to find
man
him,
as well who I saw thing who helped. But it's the first man. He didn't think of himself.
Yeah. Great, okay. Now, Rachel, we've contacted, so have you, and she's in the health service, so she's working. But she was brilliant as well, wasn't she? She dialed 999.
She done all the thing, and then she called, tried to call my son, who was at home. Yeah. Then she called Anne.
Okay. Anne is incoming. Anne Reynolds.
Hello. Hello, Joe.
So you get the call, Anne. What did Rachel say to you, this stranger?
Well, I was coming off a night shift and I'm in the health and social care
sector
as well. So I got a call and Rachel said, hello, is this Anne? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, I'm here with your mum.
Oh,
she's been involved in an accident. But she's fine.
Oh, great. Well done, Rachel. And so you were relieved when you heard that, so to speak.
I was relieved. I thought she was out in the car. And I said, well, like, was she in the car? Was she walking? And Rachel said, no, she was on the mobility scooter.
Right.
And I still couldn't put it together.
Yeah.
And then as it developed, as Rachel told me, she had come on the scene and two men were...
Trying to get her out of the canal.
Trying to get her out of the canal. They were fishing around.
And Toby.
Mobility scooter. Toby, the shopping.
And by the way, did the mobility scooter survive?
Oh, it did, yeah.
Oh, thank
you. Yes.
Okay, now, Anne, so you rushed down, did you, to Bluebell?
I told Rachel, I said I'd be there in 20 minutes.
Okay.
So it was 20 to 10. I didn't know which side of the canal she was on, and I was concerned because had it been the other side at Golden Bridge Cemetery, you'd have to go drive back into Inchicore and come back up
around
again.
The nearest bridge there, yeah.
Well, I needn't have worried because from Surrey Bridge, the whole place was lit up like a Christmas tree. Everybody was there to help her.
What do you mean?
Well, they had the fire brigade.
Oh, brilliant.
In Lancer, water people.
Wow.
The guards had the dog and the shopping.
Okay.
the mobility scooter was parked on the side of the canal.
When you say the place is like Christmas tree, you mean all the blue flashing lights?
It
was a full-on emergency because somebody had gone into the canal. Yeah. And Dublin Fire Brigade, they mobilised. Well, obviously, Dolphin's Barn would have been there within minutes.
I was down with them on Sundrive. So my brother was able to come up. I picked up the dog and brought the dog in the shop and home, got clothes for Mammy. Mammy had been taken off to James's at that stage and met Mammy down at James's hospital. So they had... They were lovely, the ambulance crew. They were absolutely great, lovely. Yeah. They gave her a hat because she was so cold they had to take off all her clothes.
Wow, okay.
You know, and
she was saturated,
I know, but 82 years of age with comorbid conditions, I knew there was other risks coming down the road.
Okay.
But we haven't been able to trace those two men.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to thank them. They were there. You know, we always say, you know, don't go into the water unless you have to, but he went in, he didn't have a second thought. Another man helped him.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, there was no ego or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it could have been so much worse.
They were very brave, and your mother was on a mobility scooter. She could have got caught in that. They could have got... But that's what happened. It was accidentally knocked in. They went... And what do we know about the second man? The first man is in his 40s, 5'8". What do we know about the second man?
The second man was a similar age and wore glasses. Now, Mammy didn't see... Well, she's no recollection of him, and that's not...
Okay.
He was obviously behind the scenes and doing other things. And there was so much going on.
Okay. So, go back to Teresa. Teresa, you're sitting on the steps. You're freezing.
Yep.
Where is the mobility? Is your scooter still... Have you a name on your scooter? Do you call your scooter a name? No? Not the way you call
it? No,
okay.
Name on it.
So the scooter's in the canal.
It is in the canal.
And did the two lads try and get that out? How did you get that out?
I don't know really what happened there. It's like, because... I know it's the only thing I can equate what was going on. You know, Delaney had the donkey.
Yeah.
You know, they come to the end, placing the auxiliary, the garrison artillery.
Everyone was there.
The rice guard. They all came. Well, it was like that because each time I looked, there was somebody else. And I felt bad that so many had come out. Because I know it was an accident, but it was kind of a stupid accident.
It wasn't. It was a freak accident. Stop.
Yeah.
So how soon, when you're sitting on the steps and the lads got you out, Rachel's on the phone. She's already dialed 999. Well done, Rachel. She's now talking to Anne. Anne is saying, I'm on my way from Monkstown or whatever. And how soon did the ambulance and the sirens, as soon did you see the blue lights and the siren, hear the sirens?
I think the first man on the scene was up on the wall just at the Lewis and was calling them that this is where I was.
Okay.
You know, because it was in between two stops. So I know the ambulance came with a chair, but the fire brigade automatically crossed over themselves.
Yeah.
And they were very good because they tried to explain to me that if I stayed in the wet clothes, I'd get hypothermia.
Oh, sure.
So they tried to get me to open up and get a blanket around me.
Yeah.
So,
so you're surrounded by, you're now surrounded by firefighter paramedics from Dublin Fire Brigade. There's an ambulance there, there's a fire engine there. Did the Gardaí, and did the Gardaí arrive?
Yeah.
The Gardaí arrived.
Okay.
And there was two inshore watermen. And I think they probably had it. Well, I think when the call went out, it was the case they might have to go in after somebody.
Yeah, well, Dublin Fire Brigade have a swift water rescue team, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't know which crew it was, but well done. So, Anne, you were whisked off to St. James's, which is 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
And when you got to St. James's, on one hand, you're telling me, which people won't agree with, that you were mortified because you shouldn't be mortified. These things happen.
Yeah, but I was because it's the expense of sending out such a crew.
That's their job.
And I know,
Dublin Fire Brigade never. Dublin Fire Brigade will never say no. They never, no matter what the call is. That's why they're so brilliant. Anyway, so you're now in St. James's, and what did they wheel you in? Was there a commotion in St. James's, or was it calm by the time you got
there?
No,
it was quite calm.
Grand.
The handover, I think they might have been frightened that I had drank some of the canal water.
Oh, and did you?
No, I have no recognition of doing that.
And what about Toby?
Toby, he doesn't appear
Toby
to have.
Toby was not impressed, Joe.
Toby is what, Anne?
Toby was not impressed.
Was he not? He's used to Batty Gowan, is he?
No. Well, he's used to hot thermal waters.
Yeah.
Hot thermal waters is our Toby. From what I can understand, it was the actual two men who took the mobility scooter out of the canal. Now,
right.
I understand them. They're heavy things. They're not... It's not like taking a bike or a scooter out.
Yeah, I know that, of course.
They're about 29 kilos.
And the battery is heavy.
You know, so... Yeah. And the reason why from what I can understand, it was the man is the mobility scooter didn't suffer anything. You know,
okay.
I mean, we got it home, dried it out. It's functioning perfectly this morning. We put it back together.
Oh, well done.
The man in the local hospital, the key broke in the scooter, so he was able to fix that this morning for Mammy. But they were out. I got there at 10 o'clock. Mammy had just left in the ambulance.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a very swift response.
Of course, yeah.
But on that side of the canal, as people might understand, the Lewis is there, but the actual canal is lower. So if you're driving on the road,
you wouldn't see.
You won't see anybody.
Yes, yes. So if Anne had tumbled in and there was only traffic, that she might not have been spotted falling into the canal.
That's correct.
Wow.
You know, I mean, and that's how...
And Teresa, stay with us, Anne.
Yes.
Teresa, excuse me, we've just put up a photograph of Toby.
Yeah, he's not lovely.
I don't know if I go that far now. Is he a bit angry in that photograph?
No, he's old.
No.
And his servant didn't
15.
Come quick enough to take him off the seat. That's
and when
happened.
Was that photograph taken?
I took that this morning.
Oh, come on, Toby. Dublin.
He's completely blind. He's completely blind.
Ah, poor thing.
You know, so when you're calling him, he's deaf or selectively deaf.
Selectively.
I mean, he always was selectively deaf, but he's old now.
Okay.
And, I mean, he got a terrible shock.
Okay.
You know.
But is he okay? He's warm now and...
Yeah, I mean, we were in touch with the vet, and the vet said no, because he had just had his inoculation on Friday.
Great.
So the vet said no, actually, he'd be fine. You know?
And are you serious? I know people. Are you serious when you tell me how Teresa looks after him, your mother, or his mother?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, when I say to Toby, that's my mammy, Toby actually will answer me back and say, no, that's my mammy. She's my mammy. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no! Like he's a lovely personality. He's a rescue dog, and he just didn't get the input at
care,
the time.
Yeah. But to yeah. Teresa, he is an emperor. He is
the
king.
He is an emperor.
Yes.
Yeah. He sits beside Mammy on the Chesterfield armchair on the right hand side, like the Holy Trinity.
Okay.
People have an hour audience. My sister comes down to visit Mammy, and he'll give her an hour.
Yeah, Toby will.
And that's the end of it.
Get out.
No, and then
he starts
then he'll get out. Your time is up now.
Yeah.
See you. Goodbye.
And what do you feed him on, Teresa? Caviar, foie gras.
Oh no! He'll eat stuff I would eat.
Yeah.
But I do give him pedigree chum in the morning, like that would be his main meal.
Yeah, of course.
And mostly, well, he is a beggar anyway. He's but I would give him a tippet from what I've eaten. He's blind, all right, but he's been so long here with me. He knows how to go around.
Brilliant.
Anne
told me a few minutes ago they put the mobility scooter back together again.
That's right.
Have we put Teresa back together again? Are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm actually well, yeah.
But
I know I was very lucky, but it's that man that came to my rescue. It's just, when you see people in uniform, it's so easy to thank them.
Yeah, of course.
But he wasn't thanked.
Yeah, okay, you're great. And
really, he did everything. He shouted for help. He called different people.
He got you out.
Like,
himself and the other man got you out.
Yeah, he got me out.
Like, they did not have to go into the water.
And Teresa, did you once work in the Bank of Ireland?
I did.
Okay. Because John Reynolds is on the line, no relation.
John, yeah, no John.
Okay, John, you come in praise of the woman saved from the canal. Teresa.
Hello, Joe.
Okay. How do you know this woman, Teresa O'Malley?
Teresa worked in the catering department in the Bank of Ireland.
Okay.
And she'd be in there every morning at 7 o'clock,
wow,
organising the porridge. And when we used to have a really good canteen in there in the bank.
Yes.
And she was the woman to be there in with, which was always the first in, I think, weren't you, Teresa?
What's this?
You're always forced in, John is saying.
Oh, yeah, it was first in. Yeah, it'd be first in the mornings.
Well done. What time?
Set up.
And in those days when you worked in the catering in the Bank of Ireland, what time were you up at in the morning? What time did you get up at in the morning, Teresa?
Oh, I used to get up around 5 o'clock and I'd be in.
Wow.
Well, 5 o'clock, half or 5 o'clock. And I'd go in and I'd think, because there used to be night men there.
Yeah.
And, like, they're entitled to have a decent grub.
Fair,
you know,
because
it's part of the contract.
Yeah.
And I remember this day one morning, and over the tannoy, I heard it say, Teresa's back, Teresa's back. And I couldn't understand how they used to be up just as the breakfast was
raised. Ah, they got used to
and
it.
And I said, ready as no. Said, oh,
but the porridge is ready.
The first, we know the breakfast's gone in. And when it's open the second time, we know it's out in the counter.
Okay.
It was just one of those things. Yeah. There was never any delay with them. They were really lovely people.
John, you're right. Teresa was a hard worker, wasn't she, John?
Well, she sure was, Joe. Absolutely. Indeed, all the catering staff in there, they were terrific. There was, there were so many of them. But Helen was the manager there. And, what was the other lady's name?
Deirdre.
And I haven't seen them since I left there in 2012. And I often think about them and so on. But Teresa and the crew, they were brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Great,
and they gave a great service. And always looked after us. So I'm delighted to hear, Teresa. I recognised your voice. I was listening for a few minutes and I just said, that's Teresa Reynolds.
That's her. Okay, John, good to meet you, Maga, John, and good to hear from
you. You're more than welcome, Joe.
And
keep up the old good work.
Yeah, and people like Teresa, you couldn't go wrong, for God's sake.
You couldn't go wrong with people like Teresa, you're right.
And then those good Samaritans, and the likes of yourself, but the good Samaritans who jumped into the canal last Saturday morning, around 9:30, up around Bluebell, beside the Lewis.
I never thought I'd be talking to you, Joe, that's for sure.
Well, John, I never thought I'd be talking to you. Don't be a stranger.
To hear you're sounding so well.
She's, you there? You're back there. Teresa on the WhatsApp line. Okay, Teresa, we'll keep looking for the two mystery men. The two men of mystery.
Yes.
Thanks to Rachel, who was really on the ball as well. Thanks to all the paramedics, police, firefighters, everyone who turned up in jig time.
Yeah.
Thanks to St. James's A&E, great A&E, always was. Great hospital. And primarily, we have to say thanks to Toby. Like, does Toby bark?
Teresa. Oh, he did. He gave one of them a bad time.
But
he was growling at them.
Okay, well, when Toby is sitting on the chest.
He came back when he went into off. He sat in my chest. That was the best place to be.
Okay, came in with you. By the way, when Toby is sitting on the Chesterfield suite with you in your home, does he bark when there's someone at the door, or does he bark when he hears a postman? Or?
Oh, yes.
Okay, he's a bit of a guard dog.
We had another lovely dog, Daisy. She went on the 9th of October and bought it. But she loved the postman. Toby hated him.
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of those things. Like, he never gave the postman a second look. When Daisy would be nearly sort of take me home with you. Okay. But, no, Toby is...
he's a character.
He's me. He's a character. I don't mean in a selfish way, yeah. He knows no better.
But if Toby is blind, can we not get him a guide dog?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's why he's tethered to Teresa, me when I'm out.
Teresa, the shopping.
Yeah, the shopping, the meat, the eggs. But as I say, do you do?
Okay, and they let I presume.
I normally wouldn't shop.
I presume they let you out of hospital. They let you out of hospital that day, did he and James?
Oh, they did. Okay. Yeah.
Well, so we keep.
They were only concerned they might have inhaled some of that water.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think I'm conscious.
No, you sound good. You sound good. But you mind yourself now, please, Teresa. And you say it was a freak accident. It could have happened to anybody. Anne Reynolds. Thanks indeed. You mentioned your sister's calling over to your mammy all the time. So that's, you're a great family, obviously. Toby, I see photographs going up on Twitter already of Toby. They're obviously AI generated.
Toby has as well trained.
Of Toby has Toby sitting on a beach in Marbella, being with his sunglasses and enjoying the results of his great effort. Okay, Teresa, mind yourself. We keep looking for those two men. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Joe at rt.ie, 51551, if you are one or indeed two of those men.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie, a little health warning. If there are young ears nearby, and when they hear the word toy show this week, there's only one thing on their mind for all of us. But the toys we'll be talking about in the next few minutes will not feature on the toy show on Friday night, unless Paddy Keelty loses his mind. And if he does produce one of these toys on the toy show, he will be, I say, personally escorted, not just from the studio, from the campus, and probably from the country by the Director General and a number of security staff. Just a little warning. Antoinette O'Neill. Antoinette, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
It's a mystery to me. And it's a mystery to you. What happened?
So I ordered a pair of boots about 3 months ago.
Yes.
And got a notification that they were to come in the next few days.
Okay, you ordered them you ordered them from AliExpress. Which are generally, they're in China, and they're generally, as Trump would say, but they are reliable, aren't they? You've got boots there before.
I have. Okay. And it actually was a seller, I just looked into it, from the Netherlands, who was actually selling them.
Okay.
So Fastways came on Friday with a package, Fastway, my name and address.
Okay, Fastway being the delivery company. They arrived on Friday with what you thought were your beautiful boots.
Well, I actually didn't know what it was because I wasn't expecting my boots for another few days. So I was a bit baffled when I got the package because it's quite big.
Okay.
So I opened it up because my name was on it. And the first thing I saw was a small black box.
Yes.
And I was a bit confused.
Yes.
And then I texted my daughter, who's in college, because I thought maybe this was her package.
Yes.
Because she has used my credit card before.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's not hers. So I proceeded to, I didn't open the black box, but I proceeded to look through the bag.
Yeah.
And there was an object. And I was looking at it going, okay, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And I was really confused, and I was like, oh, my husband maybe ordered stuff. I thought it was a tool or something to do with plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't know what it was because there was no information on the packaging.
Okay.
It was like in this thick bubble wrap.
Okay.
So I went to the next item. Now, every item was individually wrapped.
Oh,
so,
very
you know,
good.
It was well protected. So I opened the next one, and it was a small item with a picture, and to me it looked like a microphone.
Yes.
And I was really confused, going, my husband wouldn't want a microphone. I just didn't know what was going on. It was when I opened the next one, which was...
What happened to the microphone?
Well, the microphone, it's in the sealed box.
Oh, you assumed it was a microphone. You put it to one side. Said the husband's getting into karaoke or whatever.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was like. So I still didn't know what was going on, and it's still in a sealed box. I didn't know what was going on. So it was only when the other package opened it up, and it was this big box, the length of my arm, and it said multi-function on it.
Yeah.
I'm still confused. I'm baffled, and I'm going low noise motor, and I'm like, what? And then it dawned on me. Yeah, but then there was more to come now.
Okay, so to speak, go ahead.
So, then there was another one in very well protected and opened it up. And it was quite similar, quite big. And I was like, okay, this definitely wasn't ordered by anybody in this house.
Yeah.
Then there was another item and I opened it up. It's in like a clear seal bag. And I was going, oh, fuck the earphones.
Okay.
So I knew at this stage that some of the items were, can I say it, Joe?
Of course, yeah. I have the clue what you're talking about.
All right. So I knew at this stage that they were sex toys.
God.
Quite a lot of them. So when my husband came home and the kids, I told them, and I still haven't opened this black box now. They thought it was hilarious, and they were like, no way. And my husband was saying, go on, open that black box. I was going, I'm afraid to. So we opened it up, or he opened it up, and it is like this, what do I describe it? It's a tongue on like a
tongue.
Extra.
A tongue.
Yeah.
T-O-N.
Yeah. They're all for someone's pleasure. Pleasure toys, maybe. That's what they're called.
Okay, and you know, I'm giving you absolutely no help in the description. That's a choice I made when it's out of photograph.
I don't think you really need to add anything onto it because, like, Joe, this happened on Friday, and I'm still looking. It's bizarre.
So you're adamant. It's your. But you sent me a photograph of everything. Too much information. Mm-hmm. Too much information there, Anthony. But anyway, you're adamant. That sticker on this box. Is your name your address? It's not a misspelling. It is your name, your address, as supplied to AliExpress.
Yeah. So what has happened is there is a sticker on the package with my name and address on it. It's a Fastways sticker.
Fastway, the company. Yeah.
So underneath that sticker is a label from AliExpress with the person's name that these items should have went to. That person's name, their first name is similar to my name, but their surname is completely different.
Okay.
They're in a different county. And of course they've ordered different items. But what has happened is because I got in touch with the seller and he is saying that he put the right sticker on the package. It is the courier that made the mistake, so they won't refund me.
And you have any idea of the value of these toys?
Well, my husband thinks they would be a lot of money. I haven't got a clue. Yeah. I don't even want to go and research them.
Yeah, don't go there. Yeah, I know.
No. And these items, like, the ones that I thought were earphones, they're not earphones. They're another pleasure item.
Yeah.
That's how naive I am to the whole thing. But, my daughter was even saying, are these actually real? Because they're big. They're big items. They're huge, Joe. I didn't even know they existed.
Well, the shops in Dublin sell them.
Yeah, but these are, like, one of them is the length of my arm. It's so big.
Yeah, too much information there, Antoinette.
So I don't want them. I don't want them. Like, if anybody
wants them.
I don't want them.
Well, no. I'm not going to raffle them for you.
I don't
And I don't think the Vincent de Paul would be flying down to where you are looking for them either.
No, I don't think so.
And you wouldn't get you wouldn't get them. I think there's a couple of hundred quid's worth there. Not that I know, but a couple of hundred quid's worth.
I'd say they're more expensive than the booties.
How much did you pay for the booties?
They were 77 euro.
Ah, that's more than 77 euro. That's you got a selection box.
I did, yeah, I'm very lucky.
So there's some person in Ireland, and don't give us the address. Is the name male or female?
Male.
Generally, what part of the country they're in? Are they in?
They're in Dublin.
Wouldn't you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So as I say, they're fairly common by all accounts. Most houses.
Yeah, well, for me, Joe, this is...
I know that. I can hear the shock in your voice. I was going to ring St. James to see how they got a bed for you in A&E.
I'm still in shock.
But you're saying those items, and what, there's about nine of them in total, is there? You're saying they're still untouched by human hand.
Oh, God, yeah.
So they're totally sealed.
Yeah.
Totally hijacked. Totally... Totally hygienic, obviously, they're sealed.
Yeah.
And what weight are they?
They're very heavy. One of them is very heavy. Like one of them I can describe as alien looking.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
Alien?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Looking thing. I don't know.
Well, you never know what people do.
And there's no description. Like, some of the boxes will go into detail and tell you, and actually there's a colour choice. So this person went for black. You can get pink or white. But one of the items, there's no description on it, so I actually don't even know what you do with it. Yeah.
Okay, and you're not...
And I don't intend to, no.
No, I mean, you're not going to go down to the presbytery and ask the padre, what you, have you any idea what this is, or go to the lost and found.
A heart attack, no.
Okay. Now, you see, there's somebody in Dublin who spent a couple of hundred euro on these toys for Christmas.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got them. He's going around where it's the only thing we can, the only identifier we have of him. He's going around wearing a lovely pair of size, what are they, size 4 or 5 boots?
Size 5.
You squeeze into a lovely pair of size 5 boots.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do see this man, it's a triple buckle on the shoe. They're like a cowboy, they're ankle boots, cowboy with the studs. They're lovely boots, by the way, 3 buckles on them. If you do see a man walking uncomfortably, what colour are they? Do we, or are they brown?
They're black.
If you do see a man in Dublin walking uncomfortably around the next few days in a pair of boots, which are obviously too small for him, with 3 buckles and a cowboy, the cowboy diamante figures on them, you have his sex toys.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you going to do?
So I got in touch with AliExpress straight away on Friday and Fastways.
I have a statement from Fastways. Hang on. Sorry, I'm being rude now. Fastways is engaged to deliver parcels to recipients and performs this service based on the data label information provided by the party that engaged Fastway for this particular service. We want to clarify that Fastway does not engage in the over-labelling of parcels. We hope this provides clarity for you. But could it be an accident somewhere in the supply chain where the original sticker became displaced? Maybe the sticker on your boots became displaced and somebody just stuck them back on?
No, the sticker that is the original sticker that's on it, I can't even take it off. It's super glued on.
Okay.
And it looks like somebody from Fastways saw the first names are similar. And just went, oh, yeah, that's Antoinette O'Neill, and put the sticker on. So they put their sticker on top of the sticker that was to go to the other person.
But if it's ordered, if you order it from AliExpress, which is based in China, and you know, I know China are a member of the International Postal Union, which regulate all, but there have been rows before where, say, the cost of sending something from here to China say is 20 euro, so we pay 20 euro to impost. But the cost of sending when you go into a post office in Beijing or whatever, Xi'an or whatever, you have a parcel. It would be infinitesimally cheaper, but still that parcel has to be delivered at this end by on post. So I wonder who's paying Fastway. Because there was a row, the IPU were saying, China, you're going to have to put up your rates. Because we're delivering, we're effectively delivering product from China for free. Do you follow me? So that's why AliExpress, AliExpress couldn't survive here because we charge real prices.
Yeah.
Whereas in China they don't. I don't know. I just think. By the way, is there batteries included?
Oh God, I don't know. I didn't open the boxes, so I don't know. I think there's USB chargers and all that.
Oh, does that hold your bang? So to speak. There's USB chargers.
Yeah. On one of them anyway, there is, Easy to carry and easy to use, 8 speeds. It's very detailed, yeah.
Okay. And I see one of the photographs you sent me, and I've just been reading, that's why I kind of lost consciousness there for a few moments. I've just been reading the detail on one of the labels you sent in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any man who knows his catechism should ever have to read that stuff on radio.
No. I don't think so. No.
Quiet vibration. So quiet. Silicone massage. Flexible neck. Maximum pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's too much information for me now, Antoinette. And look at that one. Did you see that one there? The code EAT0018 purple. You see that one?
Yeah.
Read out what's underneath it.
Oh, God. Let me see what it says.
Don't.
It is a vibration.
Yeah, that's USB. Enough. That's enough. Yeah, I'm only begging you on, so to speak. Something. The egg shape is mentioned there. Okay, Antoinette, how do we get your boots for Christmas?
Well, I don't think I'm going to get my boots. And, the seller has said he sent it to the courier company with the proper label on. So I do think it is Fastway, because it is a Fastway label that they've put on top of the existing one.
Okay, well, they
one.
Say they don't over-label, so...
Well,
but you say it came through the Netherlands.
The seller is from the Netherlands, I don't know what way it works, but it is from the Netherlands.
Okay, well, did anyone else get a missed delivery, though? I don't think it'll be as exotic as that. Antoinette, the only thing I say to you, if you can't get rid of them before Christmas Eve, will you come into Grafton Street? I'll be outside the Bailey on Christmas Eve morning from 9 o'clock till 11 and wrap them discreetly. And I'll just give them away discreetly to adult members of the... of the audience, and I'll say to him, please do not, please put under the tree, but only open after the children have gone to bed tonight.
Okay, I'll do that,
You're a star. Good luck.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Well, there seems to be a race going on to get to... the cabinet table and indeed the junior minister offices in Leinster House and beyond. If the independents are anything to go by, in fairness, Sean Kenny has said yes. An independent Kevin Boxer Moran has said yes. Marion Harkin was on McClare this morning, the independent from Sligo. She said yes. So that's three. So they're nearly over the line. But there is a debate developing within the Labour Party, who have 11 seats, as you know. They've increased their representation, the same now as the Social Democrats are level with them. But it seems to be a debate within the Labour Party whether they should go in or not. Alan Kelly was, in fairness, Éan O'Riordan on Sunday was forced out. He was in the RDS with Mary Sherlock, and he said no, absolutely not. And then Mary Sherlock said last night with Katie, that she couldn't envisage. In no circumstance can I envisage the Labour Party with going into government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. We can only form a base of negotiation if we're with other small parties. Now, Eamon Tuffy. Eamon is a veteran Labour stalwart. Eamon, what do you think, in or out, Labour Party?
Hello, Joe. I definitely don't think that we should go into government on our own as a single party with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. I doubt if a situation would arise that the Social Democrats and ourselves would agree to go into government. That would be 22 seats. Mm-hmm. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil wouldn't need that level of presence, and they would have to make too many concessions. So I don't see it happen. I agree with what Marie Sherlock said on the last night. It's always a dilemma when a situation arises after an election, Joe, whether Labour should go into government or not. And as you know yourself, on any occasion that we've had, that we've done 73, 82, 92, 2011, we've got hammered afterwards. And the reason that we decided to go into government is that we decided to do it for the good of the country. The country was in a bad state, and we went into government then, for example, in 2011. Now, I actually voted against us going into government then, and so did my daughter, Joanna, who was a TD, and we were almost obliterated after that. Now, having said that, if you're involved as a political party in particular, you do have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to the country, and you also have, of course, a responsibility to your own members. And I could see that if it was a question, for example, we could make a very significant contribution in the upcoming government in regard to housing. We could really make a difference there. But I think.
So hang on, so to come back to that, Eamon.
You
say Labour could make a difference. If the Labour Party, disciplined the Labour Party, which it always has been disciplined, especially in coalition, through very, very, very tough times. And they got, as Dick Spring used to say, we've 10% of the power, but people think we get 90% of the responsibility. And that's the way. But you're saying if Labour went in and insisted on housing, for example, they would make a difference. So surely that's worth it. Surely that's worth it.
I understand what you're saying, Joe, but on this, we have to think of the future of the party and the future of the left. The left is totally, at the moment, is all over the place in Ireland. There isn't a significant...
Who is the left?
Coherent left.
Who is the left? Sinn Féin part of the left?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. On some issues they are, on others they're
not. They don't regard the Labour Party as part of the left because they issued a statement on Thursday saying, give your preference to people before profit or the Social Democrats.
I noted that.
Was there a mention of the Labour Party?
That's right, and the Social Democrats are inclined to be the same. But Sinn Féin changed their tune after the election, and they're now including... Labour Party, but I don't think that's the I don't think that's the main issue, Joe. I think the for ordinary members of the party like myself, and as you said, I'm there a long time, over 52 years. If we were involved in negotiations, it would be the dilemma, the risk we take that we go in and we'll be hammered.
I'm just trying to put the other argument because we haven't got anyone from. So far, Joe at RT.ie, 515, anyone from the Labour Party arguing to go in. But, like, you're going in at a very different time. When you went in, as you say, you went in to stand up, stand by the Republic. Brendan Howland, he knew, before they were going in, he knew there was tough, Eamon Gilmore, Alex, all the Pat Rabbit, they all knew there was tough times ahead, but they didn't shirk. And they didn't say it's all about the future. They said it's all about now. It's all about now.
And as I said, I voted against going in 2011, but there was an overwhelming decision by the members to go in, and we're a democratic party, and I accepted that. And I think, in fact, the Labour Party between 2011 and 16 did a lot of good things, but I don't want to get into that argument. One thing I would say If the party, if the Parliamentary Labour Party get into negotiations with other parties, and if there is a proposal to go into government with a programme for government, that will have to be decided on by the members.
Well, now, one thing to, that has happened... time is running out, Eamon, for the Labour Party, okay. Isn't it? You want to make that decision fairly quickly. You've seen the avalanche of independents. They're elbowing each other into that cabinet room at this stage.
I have, yes, Joe. But I mean, right from the outset of this election campaign, Ivana said that the first thing she wanted to do was to talk to the Social Democrats and other parties, for example, Roderick O'Gorman of the Green, of the centre-left. Now, that hasn't happened. I hope it will happen in the next couple of days. And then we can make up our mind. I'm talking as a member now. We can make up our mind then.
And do you remember what Holly Cairn said about the Labour Party earlier this year?
Well, unfortunately, some members of the Labour Party, I'm not aware of what she said, some members of the Labour Party in recent years are inclined to have been treating me and my party as political pariahs. Now, if they hold out the hand of comradeship, I will gladly shake it.
The only party that I know of that called, that whose one, it's been said by one of its members, our objective is the annihilation of the Labour Party. That was a TD on the left.
There are people in the Labour Party who, in the Soc Dems who used to be in the Labour Party, Cian O'Callaghan and other people, mm-hmm. that I would have a very high regard from. And I don't see them saying anything nasty about the Labour Party. So I think it's time for both of us to set our differences aside in the past and get down and start thinking how we would work together. I'm not talking about an amalgamation for the time being.
Holly Cairn said the Labour Party broke people's trust. The future of the Social Democrats does not include a merger with the Labour Party. And then she made a number of references to what different Labour Party individuals had done as a role as government ministers. Nothing untoward there, but
did an awful lot of good on government. I won't go over them.
Well, it seems logical. You have two parties with 11 seats each, two tiny parties at the overall percentage. If the two tiny parties joined together, you'd have a small party, and the small party would be 22, and that would represent 12.5%. Of the Oireachtas. Aoife Breslin, Aoife, good afternoon. Labour Party Councillor for Tay. You have the DNA because you're a great granddaughter of the great Jim Larkin. Aoife, what do you think of this discussion, which hasn't taken full flight, but I think it should quickly if the Labour Party want to get in. What do you think, the Labour Party in or out of the cabinet room?
I think, Joe, now that's just black and white at this moment in time, and I think there's a body of work. And can I first say, yes, I'm a proud member of the Labour Party, a very proud family of Jim Larkin and what Jim Larkin has achieved. But it is a very good day for the Labour Party. What Ivana has achieved over the last couple of weeks is phenomenal from where we have come from. And I think that needs to be respected. And I think that's been rightly said
time and time again.
This
is not Election FM. Well, the issue we're asking people is, especially members of the Labour Party, should you get in quickly into discussions or just forget about it? And sit in the doll beside the 11 members of the Social Democrats, the 38 members of Sinn Féin, and the groupings of PBP and the independents on the other side, so to speak, and you're all vying to be the opposition.
I think you've asked a question, Joe, and I will answer the question. The question is at this moment in time. My understanding is that there will be discussions between the Labour Party and the Greens and the Social Democrats, and I think that needs to happen.
To what end?
I think we have a chance to build an alternative left. Absolutely. So we have, and I think we need to do that, and I think we need to be given the space to do that. The media prompt and asking, you know, 2 days after an election, are you going into coalition with this, that and the other? You know, we need to look at the space. We've built the party up. We've an opportunity to continue to build the party up, to be an opposition, to get, you know, and to fight for the people that elected us. And that's what we need to do. So the first step in this is that the leader of our great party will sit down with other parties of like mind have a discussion.
Okay, I know it's a great party in terms of history.
Absolutely.
And it's a great party in terms of achievement. And it's a party, by the way, when it was parroted there during the recent election, 100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. For many years, Labour stood up to the plate and helped run the country, especially in times of need. Mm-hmm. And going back to Clann na Pobail and Clann na Talamh. But you use the word great in terms of its DNA, but you can't say great in terms of numbers. 11, so, 11 out of
no,
out of
Joe,
174.
I think if you look, we left with 7 TDs.
I know that. I know.
I 11 TDs. Yeah. There is nobody, only the members of the Labour Party and the leader of the Labour Party, that thought this was achievable. Nobody in the media did, and we've done it. And we're going to continue to build on it.
Fairness, it's
and
a
the first
it's
thing
a,
we're going to do a, is go that, into. Yeah. We need to do is to go into discussions with like-minded people, and we need the space to do that.
Okay.
At the end of the day, the leader and the members.
So
will
with
make
so
the
with
decisions.
With who you're going to ask for meetings with Sinn Féin?
Well, that's up to the leader of the party. I mean,
well, you're a councillor in the party. What do you think? Are
I'm a councillor. I'm a lowly councillor, Joe and Kildare. You know, I might have achieved a great local election result because of the work we do, but I'm only one voice, and we're many voices within the Labour Party.
But you're inclined, from what you're saying there,
look,
Aoife,
I will say,
you're inclined to say no. Let's stay out.
No, Joe, you're putting words in my mouth.
Because I want to try and get. I'm putting words in your mouth because I want to try and get other words out of your mouth. What are you saying?
I'm saying let us have the time to have these discussions. And I will point out, in Kildare, we've worked very well with the Social Democrats on the council level. Mm-hmm. We've a good working record with them.
Okay, Eamon, do you not think time, you're around a long, long time and a great old campaigner, great campaigner, full stop, and great principled man, Eamon, out in West Dublin. Do you not think that you've listened to radio? You must have heard the independents over the last 24 hours and indeed beforehand saying they were gladly. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael need two independents to get the majority.
Yeah.
Now, I know they need ballast. I know you need ballast for
yeah.
births, deaths and marriages or whatever else
yeah.
happens in life. But they don't need that many to get them over the line.
Well, in actual fact, I think they would easily get enough independents to give them a majority of over 5. And thanks for what you said about me, Joe. This is my position at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I do think it's a dilemma for me. I would like to see what happens if we talk, if we talk to the Social Democrats. I would like to see what happens. Is there any sort of move of collaboration between us at the national level? I accept the point of collaboration at local level, that happens. And then I would make my own mind as an individual. But at the moment, I'm inclined, my inclination is to stay out as a single party, and I don't think the
situation. What do you think of a merger? What do you think of a merger then, between
with the Social Democrats?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I'd be all for that, but I think it has to be handled carefully. I do hope that will come about. We share a lot of our policies, but as well as that, I would be very friendly with a lot of members of the Social Democrats, even though I said some of them have been nasty to us, but I would be all in favour of it. So
well, that brings you up to 22. I don't know whether you read Brenda Power in today's Daily Mail. This is what she said. People before profit, I'm quoting now, people before profit positively boasted on its election posters that it had, this is true, that it had no intention of going into government. It was the only party, quote, guaranteed, it declared, not to prop them up. It wasn't all clear, of course, who them actually were. You could only assume they included Sinn Féin, the one party with the real possibility of leading alternative government. So here was a party apparently seriously expecting voters to support it, while effectively telling them that their votes would be wasted. Unless people before profit were hoping for an overall majority, a long shot really, Brenda says, its only chance of implementing its policies would have been to prop up or go into coalition with some bigger party. And people before profit never made any secret, in fairness to them, that they wouldn't do that. So if you were voting for people before profit, you were basically indulging in a form of luxury belief, supporting activists who prefer shouting from the sidelines so as to burnish your lefty credentials, rather than politicians who might actually roll up their sleeves, negotiate a deal with a bigger party and take some responsibility for the government of the country. Could you insert the Labour Party there for PBP? Luxury beliefs, high aspirations. So the only way, as Alan Kelly says, the only way, and Boxer Moran said, a day in government is worth 1,000 days in opposition. I think that was originally authored by Mary Harney in back in the day. But are you luxuriating in your beliefs and your aspirations, whereas the Labour Party has always got pulled up its sleeves, made the sleeves of Dick Spring from Kerry or Brendan Howland or Eamon Gilmore or Pat Rabbit or whatever. They've always pulled up their sleeves, or Joan Borden, always pulled up their sleeves and got in and worked and took the flak.
That's true. But one of the things I would say, if we did get to the situation, and I doubt if we will, that we were negotiating with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about going into government, then in the programme for government, what we absolutely want in regard to a number of issues, not just housing, health, mental health, disability, climate change, would absolutely have to be tied down in the programme for government. They weren't tied down in the programme for government document in 2011, and that's why I voted against it.
Okay. Aoife Breslin, thanks indeed. Aoife, and I know the council election earlier in the year, but congratulations again. And Eamon Tuffy, Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
As you know, the taxi fares have gone up again thanks to the National Transport Authority. I don't know who was looking for the increase. We're already the most expensive, as is pointed out in the papers today, taxi journeys in all of Europe. And then if you try and get a taxi, if you're lucky to get a taxi now on Saturday night, you'll pay Christmas Day rates from now on. But Aubrey McCarthy, Aubrey, I know you run a small restaurant in County Kildare and you're involved, everyone knows you're involved in Tig Lane. But tell us a story. There was a family arrived for lunch from the local nursing home. What happened?
So, Joe, last Sunday, it was our first Sunday open. We usually only open 6 days, but for Christmas we opened 7. So a family arrived just after 1 o'clock, and they brought their mom, son and daughter brought their mom from a local nursing home. And the mother arrived, she was in a wheelchair, so it was a special taxi for wheelchair access. They arrived, they came in, and we've put in a special lift for disability. Okay. And so they come up to the restaurant, and I normally go up and say hello to the customers, and a beautiful, an elegant lady, 88 years of age, and she was telling me the nursing home, etc., she was in. So they sat down and they had their lunch. And with my place, you actually, there's a big window. So if you can imagine, you're in a nursing home, you get out for the afternoon, and there's a big window that looks into the countryside. So she sat there with her family and was enjoying the lunch and the company of her family. So when lunch was over, she went down in the lift and they went to get a taxi, but it had to be wheelchair accessible. So they were finding it difficult, and after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours it took to get a disability taxi, wheelchair accessible. And literally she had to just go 2 kilometres back to the nursing home from my place in Punchestown. Now, what was fascinating, I rang all the taxis that would have been on Google in the area, and I just said, okay, can we have a taxi? I even rang Dublin taxis. No problem. And they told me they don't operate disability taxis on Sunday. So I said, well, she got one out here, so surely there has to be one there. So then I eventually rang somebody who has a disabled son. He's a friend of mine. And I said, what do you do? He's in Dublin. And he said, Aubrey, download various apps. But he said, put a note in it that you will then give a 10-euro tip on top of the taxi fare. And so then after we did that, after 2.5 hours, about 10 minutes later, we got a taxi. I'm not saying that was the carrot, but I will say this lady, a beautiful lady, elegant, quiet, and you could say, I'd say very reserved. You see, she started to get stressed. She was saying the nursing home would be closed. She said all the lights will be out. She won't be able to get in. And I just thought, this is just not acceptable. We have to do better. And your last caller was saying that the new programme for government has to deal with disability. Well, here's an area that I experienced myself last Sunday.
And do you know what the final fare was, including the tip of 10 euro?
I don't, but it was literally 2 kilometres. Joe, after 2 hours, I have a sort of commercial Jeep, and I offered to see if we could, you know, lift her out of the wheelchair, put her in the Jeep. And they said no. And then I said, well, it's only 2 kilometres. Do we sort of try and drive behind and push her into an ACE and drive behind with the hazard lights? I mean, I thought of every option. And you have an 88-year-old woman, and I'm right beside the election count down in Punchestown. My place is called the Elm. And all of the politicians, they were all doing the count up in Punchestown. And this lady was, we'd no way of getting her home.
But we don't know what the final bill was.
Don't know what the final bill was. And I'm sure...
you're saying you can on that app, on the Uber app, you can say, you can add before you book 10 euro tip, for example. Or no tip, but your advice was from the seasoned user of accessible taxis. His advice was put on a 10 euro tip and that'll turn on the lights.
That's what he said to do. So I went downstairs because the poor woman was stressed at this stage. And I said, if you go onto the app, put that on it. So they looked after that on their phone. And within 10 minutes, we had a taxi. And the woman was absolutely delighted. But all I'm saying is, a Sunday afternoon with your family, it should be a wonderful occasion. And it was just ruined. So when I rang around, it seems to get a wheelchair accessible taxi, especially at the weekend, is nigh an impossibility.
Wow.
So, and as you say, for a disabled person to face the barriers to such to transport, dignity, care, you think this all has to be questioned.
And also, well, this is also added this increase on Sunday, 10% increase in taxi fares. But it's the key to this is in the small print. We all know that for many, many years there's been a special rate from Christmas Eve to St. Stephen's Day. This was to encourage taxis to get out, and there was a 50% premium. And that rate is now, as in from last, the Christmas Day rate, okay, as in from last 2 days ago, the Christmas Day rate will apply to taxi journeys, all taxi journeys, wait for this, all taxi journeys from 4 a.m. on Saturdays. So it's from midnight to 4 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, you will pay the Christmas Day rate. So taxis at these times will cost 2 euro per kilometre. And then if you've pre-booked it, that's a 3 euro pre-booking charge. And as you know, when you jump into an Irish taxi, there's always 480 on the metre for the first half a kilometre. A 10-kilometre trip will cost you, without a tip, will cost you 30 euro from this weekend.
But do you know...
I presume they're trying to get people, the NTA are trying to get people onto the buses.
But I will say, the family of that woman, they would have paid 100 euros to go 2 kilometres. The poor woman was absolutely stressed. So not only, I know it's very hard to get taxis, and that's what you're saying, but to get wheelchair accessibility...
No, I don't get taxis that often, but I don't know how many people can afford taxis if that's the price. 30 euro for a fairly relatively small journey within Dublin at the weekend. Is pretty. And remember, the taxi drivers will tell you that Uber and Freenow, you book them, that's why they're getting the extra 3 euro on the fare, because the Uber and Freenow take the 15% or whatever from the taxi driver.
But remember, there was the taxi licenses and that. You see, that was all done away with. So I thought, when that was all done away with, we would have a huge supply. Yeah. Okay. But that didn't seem to come into existence.
Especially for wheelchair accessible. Okay, Aubrey, and then you have to get rid of your car after 10 years, which seems a ridiculous rule in this day and age of modern cars. Aubrey McCarthy, good email, Maga Joe at RTE.ie.
Thanks, Joe.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm just going to, it's a bit hard to understand the Transport for Ireland taxi grid, but first of all, there's a standard rate when you get into a taxi, 440 get in the door, 132 per kilometre up to per kilometre or up to a total of 2360, and then after that it's 172 per kilometre. Now, the standard rate you think would be the rate that would operate for most of the week, but bizarrely, the standard rate operates for only part of the week. The premium rate is the rate that operates for most of the week. And okay, the premium rate is the one, I'll go back to that tomorrow, but you get into a taxi this weekend, if you pre-book at €3, getting in the door is 5.40, that's 7.40, and then thereafter is 2.20 per kilometre. Brace yourselves. Joe at RT.ie, Annette Egan produced, Richie Byrne is on research, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cosy bedding. In-store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.